There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
We have managed to get hold of Robert Jobson. Now, he's been on the show many times before talking about members of the royal family. He's now here to chat about the long-awaited biography of Catherine Middleton, the commoner turned duchess who will be queen. Welcome back to the show, Robert.
Hi, nice to be speaking to you again.
Great to chat to you. It's a bit like a modern-day fairy tale, isn't it, with Kate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you reality is, I mean, she comes from a pretty ordinary background. I'm pretty privileged, I suppose, in a way. I mean, her granddad was a patron decorator on her mum's side. Her mum and dad worked for British Airways at the outset. And so, although she went to, you know, quite good public-private schools, if you like, I think that, in reality, 50, 60 years ago, you wouldn't have imagined marrying into royalty. But things are changing. We've seen that across Europe, in Norway and in Denmark. And so I think it's quite refreshing. And also, given that she really is a princess of the people, I mean, it's quite important at this time of change when you've got a transition in the monarch as we've had. And, you know, all the children have been born princes and princesses. Our husband was born a prince. Our father-in-law was always born to be king. It's important to have someone who, you know, has been to work at work in a double-decker bus and got in touch with the degree of reality and understands what a mortgage is. You know, at the end of the day, royalty, with all respect, trying to be as normal, they can't possibly be. And so it's quite good that somebody comes from that background where, although she's privileged, it would be silly to say that, she's had a same sort of background and upbringing, say, a grandmother and granddad did on her mum's side. The reality is she has got experience of normal life, and I think that's quite important.
Yeah, I agree with you. I actually said to somebody the other day that the difference is that she's normal. And the person I was talking to said, but what's normal? And you are correct. The royal family, not disparagingly, but they're not normal. They haven't lived normal lives.
It's not their fault. Yeah, of course it's not their fault. I mean, they know what, they haven't. When they left university, William knew that he was going to Sandhurst and he knew that what his career path was going to be. A lot of people haven't got a clue, and they don't, they have now, luckily for both of them, they're very fortunate, they've inherited the Duchy of Cornwall, which is there to provide the heir to the throne with a large sum of money every year, 25 million, I think, works out every year out of the estate. It's not coming from a public purse, it's coming from a landed estate that's set up 700 years ago or something. But the reality is that he won't really have understood, he understands homelessness, he understands problems, but he's never experienced that sort of feeling, oh God, I've got to pay the mortgage and I haven't got the money. He's never going to have to experience that.
Yes, indeed. And you mentioned she's a princess of the people, which I agree she is. There are a lot of comparisons to Diana, rightly or wrongly, but she was also a princess of the people, wasn't she?
Well, she was, except, of course, she was the daughter of an earl, and her family roots go back to the Stuart kings. So, therefore, she wasn't in any way a commoner. She was a noblewoman. So, but I think the way that Diana realised that things had to change was quite inspiring. I was there. I covered the story for the last 35 years, so I knew Diana. I met Diana and covered engagements with her in Nepal and in Zimbabwe and India, all over the world, really. And she was somebody who was very much in touch with humanity and was able to understand the needs of people less fortunate than herself. And she was there to put herself on the line to achieve that, particularly with things such as, you know, landmines, where the injuries have been called, leprosy mission, and particularly AIDS, of course, where she really did make a real, real difference in getting rid of that stigma associated with the HIV/AIDS virus. So in my opinion, Diana was a groundbreaker. But there's not, apart from her wearing the same ring and having the same title, there's very little that's similar. I mean, really, Diana came to be this sort of cover girl in the early 80s and 90s, really very, very young. You know, she was only 19 when she was sort of being touted to be a bride in the royal family. So Kate, you know, did it a different way. She was there a good decade or so, just shy of a decade, before she married into the royal family. You know, she'd been dating William. So she had a fair idea of what she could expect. They're very different. And Diana was a very, I think, grounded person to understanding people, but not particularly academically bright. Kate, very bright, very smart woman. And I think the way that she's handled some of the nonsense that's been going on recently with the Meghan and Harry stuff has been really classy. And the fact she's risen above it, she hasn't really got embroiled in it. She's been a solution finder rather than someone that creates heat at a time when the king in particular needs all the support he can get.
Yeah, I want to talk about that later. I do agree with you. I think the only thing that worried me is I remember when Diana first became the princess, first got married to Charles, and she went extremely thin. Now, I know that obviously...
Yes, she did.
Yeah, Catherine's got her illness at the moment. I understand that. But as soon as she became princess, as soon as she married William, she seemed to have gone the same way. And I worry that once the public see her as this princess of the people, it must be so hard, especially, I suppose, for Catherine, coming from a normal background, to sort of learn to fit in with the royal family.
Well, I think it's hard for anybody. I mean, it's slightly bizarre. Even covering it as a journalist, I've seen them come and go as correspondents and people from... in various parts of England that normally when you first meet them speaking quite normally end up putting on this strange plummy accent, which thank God I've never been able to, coming from Essex, I'm quite happy not to develop. But the reality is it used to be called red carpet fever by my late esteemed colleague, James Whittaker. I think that it's tough, you know, not being a woman, I think, and being in the spotlight in any way is tough. But being a royal princess, and every single thing you do, everything you wear, the way your hair is, the way what shoes you're wearing, what clothes you're wearing, do you look good in this or not, must be terribly difficult. And I think that what's important is that people really give her a break at this time and that she too realises she doesn't have to be perfect all the time, because she doesn't. I mean, you know, she needs to be allowed to sort of just turn up at the school in muffins and just to pick up the kids and not have paparazzi hanging around all the time. I just think that's sort of been resolved a little bit. And it's important because, you know, it's tough to be able to... I mean, we've seen her twice since she made that very courageous statement, which we all saw on the television. I think we've seen her twice since then, the Troop in the Colour, and then, of course, where she was with the children on the balcony, and then, of course, at Wimbledon, where she got a standing ovation. Now, that must have been quite tough, you know, to actually...
Oh, no, I think we might have lost Robert. Oh, no, Robert, don't go. Don't leave me. We've got you now. Robert, right. Oh, no, you're there. Sorry, you froze for a second then. Sorry, we got as far as the standing ovation at Wimbledon.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that must have been heartening for her, but, you know, quite tough. You know, she would have known, with all that's been going on, everyone's looking at her, what she looks like. Is she too thin? Is she, has her hair okay? All of these things must have been going through her mind, and that's really quite tough, I think, for anybody. But and so I just think that we should expect... Now, everyone's talking about when is she coming back. Well, I don't think she should be coming back in any full-time way until she's 100% ready. But even then, she has to gauge it. You can't throw yourself into these things 100% until you are ready, both emotionally, physically, too. And I think that we've all got to expect that. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, she'll be back in September. Yes and no. I don't think there'll be a whole series of engagements laid out in front of us so that if she doesn't turn up for one, everyone goes, oh, is her illness back or is it a problem? So I think it's going to be have to be handled in terms of PR very astutely and very carefully.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when she, you know, it came out that she'd got cancer, I was shouting at the TV or on the news because it's like, leave the girl alone. Yes, she is who she is, but she's a woman who's got cancer and she's got two kids and she's got this massive job, and just leave her alone and let her deal with it.
Well, I think that came at a time, didn't it, after all this sort of fake picture row and stuff from all these ridiculous trolls that, and sadly, are given voices these days, but quite cruel stuff was coming out about that fake photograph. And really, at the end of the day, she then said, well, I'm going to have to show, you know, just to reveal this in a way with a BBC cameraman that is clear. There can be no, you know, people reading things into it. Yes, of course they did. People said this wasn't even a real video. I mean, there's true madness out there, I think, online. But she did that very courageously. I thought the way that she told the king first that she was doing it, the way she spoke was really very brave indeed. And, you know, you could see when she was talking about her children, she was looking down. But I think it worked in a way because it has given some serious breathing space. And I think people have realised they've got to back off. And it sort of drowned out even the most evil of these trolls, that it still persists, that people just regard them for what they are. As ridiculous people.
Yeah, keyboard warriors. They're easy to hide behind a keyboard.
Sadly, they are, but, you know, well, no, I'm not saying they don't have a right to say what they say, but maybe before they tap away, they should think about, you know, what somebody's going through and what Kate was going through, you know.
Yeah, indeed. Well, let's talk about the interesting one about Meghan and Harry, because it appeared that when she first got together with William, they got on great with Harry. You know, it was like the threesome before the Fab Four.
Well, I think they did. I mean, he would probably put it that he was more like a bit of a gooseberry. He was always around there all the time. And, you know, it was just like the brother that wouldn't just go away. And they were living quite close. And I think, you know, that was fine. And then he fell in love with Meghan, you know, which is what he did. And I don't think his brother did anything badly. I think he just, like any brother, older brother, said, well, be careful, don't rush into anything. He'd had a couple of relationships before with, you know, with very lovely girls, and that had faded because of the paparazzi, amongst the other things, among the paparazzi intrusion. But I think that with he was totally smitten, Harry, and I think all that William did was sort of say, just take it slowly. And I think he took umbrage at that. And that began a bit of a problem that escalated out of control, sadly, and to a point where there was no real bridges to be built. I mean, I think the problem was, I think we all expected this Fab Four to be, it was almost a media creation. We'd expected it to happen. And it never really did. These were two very different couples, and there's no reason why sister-in-laws particularly should get on as best friends, because two brothers have married, you know, they've married two brothers. I mean, some do, some don't. And I don't think they didn't, is the truth. They don't particularly gel, and that's all there was to it. And I think that there was also this hierarchy in the royal family, with Meghan and Harry were lower down the totem pole, if you like, than William and Kate, and I don't think that was fully understood either, really. So, look, it's one of those things. Sadly, with what's gone on subsequently, I very much doubt there'll be any healing or any reconciliation between the two brothers, and therefore between Meghan and Catherine. But, you know, that's life. I think that they just got to get on supporting the king and do what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's a shame, and I think it is a shame for the king. But apparently, Kate was quite a calming influence and helped Prince William become closer to his father.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that Harry, actually, from people I've spoken to, was actually closer to his dad than His Majesty than William, actually. And William, his dad would have fallings out. You know, over one was over the ivory in the royal collection. Just little things where they just have differences of opinion. They obviously love each other, but, you know, they have differences of opinion and they weren't as close. I think that's why it's been quite tough, I think, for the king with Harry and the way it's sort of unfolded. But at the same time, you know, he has responsibilities to the king and he knows what he's got to do. But with William, I think that, you know, where there's been issues, you having someone who's a solution finder like Catherine there is wonderful. You know, she calls him Grandpa. You can see when he sees the king, his face lights up when he sees them, as he calls her the beloved daughter that he never had. Oh. And she, of course, makes sure she sees he sees his grandchildren. He's a very funny. I mean, I've met the king many, many times, and he's a, you know, a very interesting sense of humour. When he's reading to his grandchildren, he'll be doing all the funny voices and everything. So, you know, they absolutely adore him. And, you know, if there's been any tension between William and his father, then Catherine makes sure it's all smoothed over in a way that is perfect for, you know, good family relations. And we saw how wonderful he was when he supported the king at the coronation. And I think that, you know, relationship is closer than ever.
And presumably you've met her, Catherine, Robert.
Yeah, I have, yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that, you know, I mean, I would say I wrote a book called Our King, and I actually did interview the king, and I did speak to him quite a lot, and I've travelled far more with him. But I've travelled with Catherine and William on trips since 2011. I remember they would come back on the Royal Flight when we were going, they came back, actually, I think it was on the way to Pakistan, and we chatted about her. A few things, you know, obviously won't say what it was, but school days. I mean, my son went to the same school as her, and she was talking about the teachers and stuff at Marlborough. I wouldn't say that we're the closest, but, you know, I have met her, I've spoken to her, I've watched her close up the way she works. You know, I've spoken to members of the family, I've spoken to friends, and trying to get a picture. The book really isn't, I know it's easy to start, you know, when we do these things, to talk about revelations in a book and all that, but actually what I felt was important, and I've been working on the book since 2021, in fact wrote another one in between, was really to try and get a fuller picture of this enigma that is Kate, and to try to tell this story of, the person, that, of course she's not perfect, but the more complete story of, you know, where she's come from, how she's developed, what her interests are, what her tastes are, and who she is. And that's what I've tried to achieve in this book. And hopefully, I mean, it's now second week. I can say I'll be number one at the Sunday Times bestsellers list again this weekend, because I've just been told. So that's 2 weeks at number one and nearly 10,000 hardbacks sold. So obviously, other people are enjoying it. There'll be other people that don't enjoy it, you know, the Megan trolls and all these people.
But then don't
read it.
But
at the end of the day, a lot of people have clearly not, including some critics, have clearly not even read it, because they, you know, before they put pen to paper. But when people have read it, they said that it's a nice book, a nice read. You get a complete picture of, a far more greater insight into who Kate is than they felt they knew before. And that's really what I was trying to achieve.
Yeah, quite right too. And I really look forward to reading it. What's next for you then? Who's next in the royal family you're going to be writing about?
Well, they have signed me, Bonnie have signed me to write another book. But I'm looking at trying to do, as I've been reporting on the royals now for, 35 years, a more reflective book about the Windsor legacy, really. And at the moment, the working title will be that, the Windsor legacy, a century of the crowning crisis, which will be looking at really from 1926, when Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II was born, right the way through that century. And, I'm a historian from university, and that's really gives me an opportunity to look at some of the big crises from the abdication to the Diana years, which I was witness to, and the more recent crises, if you like, of the Epstein scandal with Andrew and the Harry and Meghan scandal. So, look, I'm looking at doing that at the moment. It's very early days, and it'll probably be out in 2026, so, but there's a long way to go yet.
Well, if I'm still here then I'll be contacting you. We obviously wish Catherine, Princess of Wales, well. She is the
Absolutely.
Woman. Absolutely. Yeah, she's the woman who will one day, God willing, become our queen. The book is called Catherine, the Princess of Wales, the biography, and it's by Robert Jobson, who we're chatting to now. Robert, it's always a delight to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Always a pleasure to be on, and it's hopefully it will continue to be a nice summer read for some people.
Let's hope so. You take care now. Thanks, Robert.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.